This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 44 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. So my daughter is 5, and lately we've been reading this really awesome series of books about a girl named Clementine. Clementine is a very smart kid. She has an interesting way of seeing the world. She's super spunky, and she has a very hard time making decisions. Clementine says choosing something isn't hard. It's not choosing all the other options that's hard. And as I thought about it, I realized she's kind of got a point there. And so when my guest for today's show reached out to talk about the weighted decision matrix and how to make logical, data-backed decisions, I knew this was something I wanted to talk about on the show. Caleb Christopher is the founder and president of InfoSec Consulting, and he's going to walk us through what a weighted decision matrix is, how to use it in your MSP, and how it helps you make confident decisions with full buy-in from your team. No more regrets over what you didn't choose. But first, our One Thing segment, where we hear from an MSP about one thing that's made a difference in their business. Today, we have Nathan Rizzo from RX Technology.
My name is Nathan Rizzo. I'm the vice president at RX Technology. My one thing is, and it's a part of our mantra, it's in everything that we do, we're a customer service company in the IT business. And that focus on customer service and high customer satisfaction scores and high specifically on the help desk, we have another saying that we win and lose accounts based on our help desk. And that is something we found to be true over and over again. When we have employee reviews, the first metric we're talking about is your customer satisfaction survey, right? We don't judge a help desk employee on the amount of time they spend on the phone or how many tickets they resolve. You can have the same exact ticket for two different users. One of them can take 5 minutes and the other one can take 45, right? Based on that user's preference of how they want the interaction to go, how much explanation they need, you're going to get weighted far more heavily first on customer satisfaction and then secondly on colleague satisfaction, right? Are you serving the colleagues you've got around you in the same way that we serve customers? Because service doesn't just stop with external users. We always look for leading indicators, right? We don't want to wait for somebody to send us a negative survey. We want to have leading indicators. So we've got a couple of tools in place. One of them we use BrightGauge. I know that if we track our metrics on response time, resolution time, reopen tickets, those are all leading indicators for customer satisfaction. So if we don't have anybody say, hey, we've resolved an issue for them, they don't say, nope, you didn't. We respond quickly and we resolve it quickly. We know that we're going to end up with high customer satisfaction scores. The other tool that we use is one of many out there, but we're really happy with. It's called SimpleSat. It's designed for the managed industry. It ties directly into ConnectWise. It does a couple of things. One, it simplified our customer surveys. We were using the ConnectWise surveys and getting a 2 and 3% response. Moving to SimpleSat has gotten us, I think we're currently at a 31% response rate on our surveys. And then secondly, it also serves for our net promoter score. So it'll randomly send out to customers from our ConnectWise database, 1 to 10, how likely are you to recommend us to friends and colleagues? Through the year, we're currently sitting at a 86, which we're pretty proud of. So like every other, I'm sure, firm that's listening to the podcast, once upon a time, we had to make a dollar. Payroll was our most important metric in the company. So we were very focused on profit and chasing profit and how profitable are we on accounts. And then we were seeing turnover in customers. We've seen turnover in employees. And I'm not sure what the catalyst for the change was, but I realized that if I've got happy employees, if I'm training them, if I'm giving them a good work-life balance, if they see the growth in the company and I empower them to make decisions, right, where they're not waiting around for me to come and say, yeah, that's okay. It increased their satisfaction considerably. And then when you got happy employees, they're going to take care of your customers. It was absolutely not something we were doing from the beginning because, unfortunately, being profitable was the number one concern. But we saw retention and overall profitability just, I mean, there is no comparing once we started focusing on the service aspect of the business. You know, I think 20% of our client base right now came from users who left one of our current clients, went to a new one, and took them with us. So it reduced our sales and marketing costs. Our retention is extremely high. And we're at the point of trust with our customers where we don't get a lot of fight on new projects that they need to implement. The Windows 7 2008 that everybody's going through this year, our customers aren't fighting us on getting that in place at all.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by AVIC Networks.
Now we come to my interview with Caleb Christopher of InfoSec Consulting about how to use a weighted decision matrix in your MSP to make data-backed decisions that have full team buy-in. Hi, Caleb. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to talk today about weighted decision matrices and or matrices, I guess, is the plural.
I believe.
Yeah. So you have a really interesting model for making decisions. So tell us about this matrix.
So a weighted decision matrix, it's a business analysis tool. Anybody can pause and go look it up on Google right now. They'll find some visual examples of what they look like. But it's usually a spreadsheet-based calculator that helps you make an important choice from several options. And they can be based on subjective requirements. The criteria can vary wildly. That's up to you. But it puts a relatively subjective score at the top so that you make the best choice out of several good options. And that's really the differentiator. What we want to focus on, what's the best choice?
I know you recently used a matrix like this to decide between a bunch of different products that you were considering for your business. So tell us about how you use the matrix to weigh them and compare them and how that helped you make your decision.
So I was looking through a lot of materials. I was looking for SOC as a service. So 24/7 security operations center to supplement my managed service practice. And there's a lot of marketing material, a lot of hype, and a lot of stuff that's not apples to apples when you're trying to compare the different options. So I decided to put all the companies I was actually considering. I weed out all the stuff that the companies I know are not a good fit or way out of my price range or, you know, all those factors. It's easy to knock some off the list. The remaining ones are all good options. So which one's the best? I put those across the top. And then on the left, I start listing. And it takes a long time. It's a lot of work. I start listing what factors are important to me and my company in particular. Essentially, you have that list of factors on the left-hand column going all the way down. That can be features you like, pricing you want, scalability. And then you add a weight factor, which is basically a multiplier for whatever score that item gets per option. And then you go through, I went through with the salespeople at all the different organizations. I did some trials and whatnot. And I scored each company on what I cared about. Not what they thought was so special about their product, but what I cared about. And so something for me that was really important was I want somebody doing 24/7 security operations center that will alert me and enable me to offer that service to my customers. And so that got a weight or a multiplier of 3.
What's the scale here?
So I have a scoring scale of 1 to 3 and a multiplier of 1 to 3. So the lowest you can get is a 0 if you don't do the thing I care about at all. And the highest score you can get is 9 if you do what I care about and you do it well or the best. And so it's not like the providers are ranked first, second, and third. It's all 6 providers that I evaluated got a 3 on 24/7 SOC support. So with a multiplier of 3. So they all got 9 points for that item. And the points all tally at the top. Some examples, if you Google it, will be at the bottom. I like it at the top right under the name. And so I have an objective number to compare my various options, apples to apples, because nobody's going to be perfect. I mean, if you find one, then you don't need a weighted decision matrix to help you decide because you know you got the perfect option. So it helps you to figure out which one is the closest match to what you want.
And I think you mentioned as well that you had gone through a process of talking to multiple stakeholders to develop this list of criteria and what kind of weighting people might want on it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So when I say I put a list of stuff that's important to me, really that's the company. We gather stakeholders. That means technicians, because they're going to have to deal with the alerts that are created by, in this particular case, the product or the service. I talk to the salespeople because it's important to have quality sales materials or somebody who can go help you make a sales call or something along those lines. So between support, sales, service delivery, it was all stakeholders need to be addressed, and you give them an opportunity. So it's a big conference meeting. Hey, this is what we're looking for. What do you want to see in that product or service? And that allows them to provide input. Well, I want this thing and it's really important to me. So I'll put it on the list and I'll mark it as a 3, right? And then somebody has to own the whole process. And that was me in this case. So once we had a giant list of requirements, I then kind of paired and deduplicated and broke them up into different sections and types. And then I showed the list to everybody once again and said, hey, let me know if you got a problem with any of this. If not, we're going to move forward and we're going to grade all these options based on these criteria. And whoever gets the highest score is going to be our provider of choice.
And was this the first time that you had sort of done this exercise in this company?
Yes. In that company, that was my first attempt. I have done them in the past. This was the biggest one I had done and the most money on the line for the service, the ongoing relationship, and the most stakeholders involved. It's really a fun process for me. I mean, I like business analysis anyway.
And what was the reaction of the stakeholders that were involved in the process? How did they feel about it?
Man, it doesn't feel like anybody has ever seen this tool before. It's a really handy tool. It's not really hard to do, but it's got a really high value output. It does take some time. So the people involved in the process, they had never seen this before, but they were really pleased with the fact that they got to weigh in on the decision. It wasn't an executive, I chose this one, here we go, deal with it. And they had a part to play in the whole process. It doesn't quite democratize the whole process because it's still a guided thing where somebody's in charge, but it allows them to have input, which is really important to people. And that puts some skin in the game for them. They're invested in the decision as well. So, and it cuts through a lot of the hype and egos that you might run into in a typical large group meeting, making a collective decision.
Now, are there some best practices that you follow? So for example, I mean, it's a pretty open spreadsheet, right? You could play with it in a lot of different ways. So are there rules of thumb about don't have more than so many criteria or make sure you do this or don't do that? Any tips there?
Other than trying to group similar things and making sure you have consensus from all stakeholders, no. I mean, your list can be 200 factors long. It's going to take you longer to grade it. But I would suggest, if it's appropriate, as you're going through the process, like for in my example, I was dealing with vendors. So I jumped on sales calls and demos with the salespeople, and I would show them a kind of a redacted version of the spreadsheet so that they couldn't see who their competitors were. But I let them see their score and let them help me fill it out, right? So I gave them an opportunity to tell me, hey, this is my list. If I'm missing something here that you think you should get graded for, let me know. I wanted them to provide input as well. So everybody has a chance to do it, to have input on this. One of the vendors said, hey, I think you've marked this thing as way too important. I don't think that's as big of a deal as it is. And so we talked about it and he had a good point. So I dropped the weight factor. I don't think that was too in his favor, especially in this case, but he helped me. People like getting involved in that process because one of the things I've run into with salespeople is if they don't win a deal, they don't necessarily get feedback. And this gave them feedback all along the way. They knew what they needed to do to win my business.
That's really interesting. Were there other nuggets that came out of that conversation with the vendors besides the one who had said, hey, let's not rank so much importance on this one?
Yeah, there were a couple of things. Somebody said, hey, you really should care about this. One of the things was part of their marketing hype. And I said, I thanks for your input, but that really honestly doesn't matter to us. And it wouldn't be fair to give you points for it when it's something that I like, if it didn't exist, I wouldn't care. So I'm not going to give it any points in this evaluation.
That was probably interesting feedback for them as well to know that, you know, this amazing feature that they thought was so amazing just wasn't relevant to you.
Right. And it may be very relevant to another company. So I wasn't saying that your value proposition is off base entirely. It's just, it's not a fit for me in that regard.
And then when you finished your ranking, so you had all of your options and you had your number one choice, and then you had to go back to the vendors you didn't choose and say, sorry, you didn't win on the ranking. Did they have questions for you about, well, where did we end up? Were we second? Were we fourth? You know, how did we score?
Yeah. So at the very end, I sent a copy, an individual copy that was specially redacted so that it only showed their company name and then a bunch of provider A, provider B, then their company, then provider D, E, F with their score. So they got to see how they ranked against other unnamed providers for my business.
Was there any feedback from that process?
Yeah, a couple of them got a little overloaded with questions, or they overloaded me with questions. And I said, look, I've given you a lot of information. I don't have time to kind of help nitpick your marketing and strategy here, but this is what I can provide you. And you're welcome to take this back and look at it with your team. But these are just my requirements. So don't let this guide your entire business process. And the winner of that analysis, they thought it was fantastic, especially because they won. But they won by a landslide in this case. And they asked me to do an interview with them for a marketing and a case study. And I will make the spreadsheet available or a template available on my website for people to go look at and download and customize for themselves.
Great. I will put a link to your website and those resources in today's show notes. So that will be really helpful.
Great.
So in this case, you were choosing between products. What other decisions have you used the matrix to help you with?
I used it to narrow down a phone system choice. It was interesting, and this is what got me hooked on weighted decision matrices, is of five different phone system choices, the one I did not think was going to win came out on top. And it wasn't by a narrow margin. It was just I had started to buy into some of the marketing hype, and I had not gathered enough input. So I was the director of IT at that time, and I had not gathered enough input from other stakeholders, the users of the phone system, the executives in the company. And so when I did that, I started showing that to different people. And again, they appreciate having a chance to have input. And I appreciated making a better decision with their input. So what came out was a very clear winner again. And sometimes it's a close race and you can narrow it down and do whatever you want, but make them offer you a discount to win or something like that. But almost every time I use this, there's a clear winner. Sometimes it's obvious from the start and you're just validating your gut. And sometimes it's like, whoa, where did that come from? I guess they are the best fit. Maybe they just have terrible marketing. I don't know.
And I would imagine, so, you know, we talked about how you're involving the stakeholders so they feel involved and they've got that buy-in already. But if the answer is a surprise, then nobody can say, well, no, I don't want them, because the answer is rather objective.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's an interesting blend of subjectivity and objectivity. You bring a bunch of subjective, well, and some objective requirements as factors to weight. And the weighting itself is very subjective. You know, one thing's worth 1 point, one X multiplier, and some things are worth a 3X multiplier. And that's where the team has to come together and get consensus. But in the end, the score is one giant single number that is very objective. Based on our criteria and our weighting, this is a clear winner. This is a clear loser.
How long do you think it took in total? So looking at the decision for your SOC to collect the criteria, have all the discussions, set the weightings, have your conversations with vendors. How long did that process take?
Well, the demo process with vendors and the sales process always takes a couple hours per, if I'm really getting into depth with the stuff, and the internal meetings. I probably spent, over the course of 30 days, I probably spent 40 man hours myself on it. I wasn't rushing anything, and we were out to make the right decision. And that was our first one. And I was building the template from scratch again for this case. So yeah, probably about 40 hours for myself. But that was a really big decision. Smaller decisions won't have 70 criteria. I just looked through the spreadsheet. I've got 70 lines of criteria.
Right. And so 40 hours, I mean, that's not an insignificant amount of time to invest. But as you say, big decision, and the outcome, like who you choose, could have long-term implications.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if contract periods are involved. So like the phone system example, that's a 3-year contract. So that's worth putting in some effort up front. 1 week of my salary at the time paled in comparison to making the wrong choice cost-wise.
Anything else that you would tell your fellow MSPs about using this tool?
I would give it a try on some smaller decisions. See if you can get some collaborative wins on the team, especially if your team has trouble with consensus or there's a lot of unilateral decisions. There's a lot of appreciation that comes from the ranks when you involve them in making these types of decisions, because every decision from the top affects the people all the way down throughout the organization. So when you give them a chance to weigh in, even if their factors and input aren't acted upon, it's important for people to feel heard. And so if for no other reason, then this is a good tool because it allows people to be heard.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this information.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Caleb Christopher, founder and president of InfoSec Consulting. Caleb was generous enough to provide links to both a weighted decision matrix template that you can use as a starting point in making your own decisions, and a redacted version of the matrix he completed when he was evaluating SOC solutions, so you can see an example of how it works. I'll put the links to those in today's show notes at avik.com/franklymsp/044. So be sure to go and grab them. And while you're there on the show notes, leave us a comment. Let us know how you liked today's episode, and we'd love to hear any tips you have on effective ways to make decisions in your MSP. That's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks. The most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.